Shalom Chaverim. Baruch haba lechol mekshavim. This is Dr. Duff Forbes, Rabbi Kehilat HaMashiach Betoch Yisrael. Welcome, my friends, to this program entitled Treasures from Tanakh. My dear friends, the human body is a very obliging vehicle. Although governed by the mind, it nevertheless graciously undertakes to perform certain tasks automatically, granting the mind liberty to occupy itself with other matters. For instance, ambulation becomes automatic, and our legs can carry us from place to place, whilst our minds visit entirely different localities. The mind can be in Mississippi, while the legs are in Los Angeles. Of course, particularly in Los Angeles, the city on wheels, there is always the possibility of the twain being brought together with a jerk. The clement blast of a motor horn has the power to return the mind to the moment, even from so remote a wandering as the South Pole. Slap comes the arresting hand of the horn on the shoulder of the mind, spinning it round to the urgent matters of the moment. My friends, it is for just this purpose that the horn is used in Scripture, to arrest and alert the mind to the momentous. The first arresting horn blast ever to be heard in biblical record was sounded in the third month after the Exodus from Egypt, on that stupendous occasion when God himself uttered its note as he descended in fire on the Mount of Revelation. The spectacle of the Mount of Ore was indescribably transfixing, but, in addition, it was then that the people heard Kol Shofar Chazak Mod, the voice of a horn exceeding loud. It drew Moses to the mount, and made the people tremble and stand afar off. Strange how Moses went one way and the people of Israel the other. Of course, we must remember that Moses was the mediator between God and the people. If the first recorded use of the Hebrew word shofar is arresting, so is its second employment. For the actual word appears no more in Scripture until the 25th chapter of Leviticus, where it blasts out another arresting proclamation. As we have seen, the first proclamation produced fear, but as we shall see, the second proclamation produced joy. And what was this second occasion? None other than the blessed announcement of Israel's Jubilee year and the proclamation of liberty it brought with it. At the end of each cycle of 49 years, the divine instruction commanded, "Then shalt thou make proclamation with a blast of the horn on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the Day of Atonement shall ye make proclamation with the horn throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year, and proclaim liberty unto all the inhabitants thereof. It shall be a jubilee unto you." Blessed proclamation! What has turned fear into joy? What has intervened to bring about this happy transformation? Well, that's a question worth answering. Let us see if the Scripture will yield more treasure to our questing minds. That Hebrew word shofar comes from the root shafor, meaning to be brilliant, beautiful, and therefore pleasing. It was a loud sounding instrument made out of the horn of an animal, sometimes the chamois or ox, but usually the ram. Indeed, the term shofar is now almost synonymous with the expression ram's horn. The Hebrew word for ram is ayil, and it comes from a root meaning to roll, hence to be strong, and, appropriately, the first use of the word ayil in Scripture is in Genesis chapter 15, where the Eternal makes an unconditional covenant with our father Abraham, following Abraham's justification by faith whilst still uncircumcised. The second appearance of the Hebrew word for ram is significantly connected with Abraham's offering of Isaac on Mount Moriah, when, instead of Isaac, a thorn-crowned substitutionary sacrifice was divinely provided. As Abraham Meir Heller puts it, and here I quote him, "The ram's horn is also a reminder of the moral heroism of our forefather Isaac, who was ready to offer his life as an expression of his loyalty to God, the ram being the substitute which God provided. The sounding of the shofar serves as a reminder of the giving of the law and of the eventual coming of Messiah. The tikiat shofar, therefore, is the trumpet call to the duty of sacrifice for God, Torah, Israel, and humanity." That is the end of the quotation. Well now, with our spiritual spades, we have dug beneath the layer of English language that formed those two words, ram's horn, and we have penetrated into the Hebrew layer of meaning beneath. We have found that the first word, ram, is associated with the Old Testament demonstrations of justification by faith and the thorn-crowned substitutionary sacrifice. And, happily enough, it is our blessed father, Abraham, who figures in each demonstration. The second word, horn, switched our thoughts from law and its fear to liberty and its joy. And we are now to see, by the same interesting process, that it is the very truths outworked by Abraham that makes possible this happy transition from fright to freedom. Incidentally, here's another fascinating little fact for you. That English word jubilee, which you heard me quote in connection with the freedom at the 50th year, appears also in the Hebrew for the first time in connection with the fear at the fiery mount. The word in Hebrew is yovel, and it signifies a protracted, prolonged sound. And yet another word, teruah, indicates the strong arresting character of that prolonged blast of the horn. It would only want one blast of that motor horn in Los Angeles to jerk our wandering minds back to our physical needs, but I guess we do need a prolonged blast of God's horn to pull us back to our spiritual needs. Anyway, God must have thought so, for he set aside a whole day in the year for the blowing of horns. It was called Yom Teruah, Day of Blowing. This word, Teruah, means to cry aloud, to shout. And this Day of Blowing forms one of the regular Moedim, or appointments of Israel, and is scripturally designated Shabbaton Zikron Teruah, solemn rest for the memorial blast of the horns. Tradition, admittedly ancient, has called this holy convocation Rosh Hashanah, which means the new year. But, as Avraham Ibn Ezra correctly observes, and here I quote him, Nisan is reckoned as the first month, because in it Israel was delivered from Egypt, and it is the spring of the year. Avraham Ibn Ezra's words are not only confirmed by Exodus chapter 12, but the words of Leviticus chapter 23 are themselves like the blast of the shofar in our spiritual ears. The Chodesh HaShavi'i Be'echad LaChodesh Yehiye Lachem Shabbaton Zikron Teruah Mikra Kodesh. In the seventh month, in the first day of the month, shall be a solemn rest unto you, a memorial proclaimed with a blast of horns, a holy convocation. Truly, the scriptures declare the first day of the month Nisan to be the new year, and the first day of the seventh month, Tishri, to be the day of blowing, the blowing of horns. Yet, over the years, tradition and custom has not only changed the biblical system, but, according to the Mishnah, has actually bestowed upon Israel's year no less than 4 commencements. The first Nisan for the religious year, the first Elul, the 6th month, for tithing flocks and herds, the first Tishri, the 7th month, for the civil, sabbatical, and the Jubilee year, and the first Shavat, the 11th month, for the fruits of trees. However, returning from human tradition to scripture truth, let us seek the answer to the question we asked earlier. What wrought the change from fright to freedom? Well, the first shofar blast was associated with a divine law we couldn't keep. But the second shofar blast was associated with a divinely provided atonement for sin. Truly, atonement makes all the difference between fright and freedom. And the thorn-crowned ram is equally truly the symbol of that divinely provided substitutionary sacrifice which makes the transition possible to every human soul who reacts to God's horn blast of revelation, as did our blessed father, Abraham. Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, yare Adonai panav alecha v'hunecha, yisar Adonai panav alecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.